Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 33. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the Scriptures on the screen. Again, that is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 through 33. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I would like you to take a moment right now to think about something that you are currently worrying about that's bothering you. Maybe it relates to one of your relationships, your family, your job, your finances, or even your future. Now, if you think about that specific worry that you have in mind, the question I would like to ask is, when it comes to this specific worry, what is it that I fear losing? Because it's the anticipated fear of that loss that causes our anxiety. For example, if you're worrying about your health or an injury that you have, you fear losing your health, your job, your future opportunities to do the things that you hope to accomplish in this life. If you're worried about the tension and unresolved conflicts in your marriage, you fear divorce and losing your spouse, your kids, and all that you have worked for over the years. If you are worried because you desire to be married but aren't, the fear is the loss of having a partner to do life with, having a family, and being alone. If you're worried about your finances because there are so many bills and more bills than income, you fear losing your current lifestyle and not being able to provide for yourself or your family. If you're worried about your status in the U.S., the fear is losing the life that you have worked so hard to build up here in America and having to return to your country, and even the unknown of what will happen if you do have to return. Whatever it is that you are worried about, see if you can identify and name the loss that you fear as a result. See, the reality is that is what anxiety is. Anxiety is the fear of loss. But for many, it can turn into panic because we are not only thinking about one loss as a result of our current situation, but then we start thinking about the chain reaction of other losses as a result of all that we think will happen. And when we worry, it creates a very deceptive cycle. When we worry about something and our fears don't actually materialize, our minds can mistakenly link the act of worrying, we're preventing negative outcomes. This reinforces the belief that worrying is beneficial because it seems to prevent anything bad from happening. And because we think that worrying works, because we can control our outcomes the way that we want, this feeds our tendency to worry more so that we can have more control. Last week, we began our new sermon series called The Anxiety Opportunity, inspired by the book by Curtis Chang. If you missed part one, I encourage you to go back and catch it online, as everything in this series builds upon the previous weeks. See, all of us suffer from the nagging feeling of worry that often discourages us, distracts us, and many times even overwhelms us. We may have even tried numerous ways to try to overcome our anxiety, but yet we always seem to come up empty. So in this series, we're exploring what it looks like to think differently about the connection between our anxiety and our spiritual growth, as we see that our anxiety and worry is the very place where we can meet Jesus and experience his peace. And there are four common beliefs about worry that compel us to keep doing it. The first, if I worry, it will prevent bad things from happening. Many of us worry because by doing so, we prevent disappointment. So we think of worst case scenarios that could happen so that if things don't turn out as bad as we thought, well then it's good and we're not disappointed. But in the meantime, we suffer needlessly by fearing the future. The second, it's safer if I worry. Many of us believe that the act of worrying somehow lowers the likelihood of any dreaded outcome. So if we worry, it is like we are the ones who are controlling bad things from happening. But if we stop worrying, then trouble will come, and so we worry in order to keep things safe. Number three, I show I care by worrying. We tell ourselves that we worry only because we care so much, and if we didn't worry, then we don't care. But we need to distinguish between caring about a situation and doing everything in our power to help it turn out well compared to worrying needlessly and fruitlessly as we bring anxiety to those around us with how overbearing we can be. And number four, worrying motivates me to do something and solve problems. We think that by worrying, it's our way to think through our problems. Though this can be true, the reality is that when we are not able to immediately solve the problems, we can look at the obstacles at hand and then spiral into unproductive what-if scenarios, which cause us more worry. And worry affects us in many ways. It affects our day, preventing us from being present and living in the moment because we are thinking about the unknown future. It affects our sleep, and it brings fear because our mind can't stop running down these rabbit trails of worst-case scenarios. It affects our health because now the anxiety manifests in our bodies in all different ways. It affects our relationships because not only are we not present with people because our mind is someplace else, but our anxious presence can start to spill onto those around us, making them anxious as we try to control the situation and even try to control others. Many of us live a lifestyle of worry that hijacks our peace and steals our joy. But Jesus, knowing our tendency to think and live like this, addresses this tension. If we are the ones who are constantly fearing our outcomes, if we are the ones who get anxious because we fear all the loss in our outcomes, then Jesus, who is the one who controls everything, including our outcomes, says this, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" In the context of this scripture, Jesus is speaking to the people in the first century. At the time, they faced the constant threat of scarcity, risking the loss of basic necessities like money, food, drink, and even clothing. As a result, people constantly worried about these things and did whatever they could to store up such things in order to put their minds at ease because the accumulation of such things would become their security. They felt that these things would provide for them in the future and would prevent them from facing the potential loss of not having enough or making ends meet. But what was happening was that those things that they were striving for and accumulating actually ended up becoming their master. Instead of looking to God to provide for them, they were looking to these things to provide for them. Money, possessions, food, and drink all became what they spent their life chasing after, and it eventually started to master them. And this is still true for us today. People still striving and accumulating things like money, possessions, and seeking for more comforts. And then we fear losing such things on top of the other things that we fear losing, like our opportunities, our health, our loved ones, our family members, or our job. And just like those in the first century, today we can end up doing whatever it takes in order to try to prevent facing any sort of potential loss. For example, if we worry about money because we fear not making ends meet, or we fear losing our current lifestyle, then we will do whatever we feel we need to do in order to work extra hours, even if it's at the detriment of our health, our marriage, our relationships, and even our relationship with God. If we worry about our children because we fear losing them, then we will do whatever we feel we need to do in order to protect, save, and comfort them, even if it's to their detriment. And the thing that people forget is that we are not just physical beings that can be satisfied by physical things. We are also spiritual beings, which means that we need a spiritual God who can ultimately satisfy us and whom we can worship. But if that spiritual God is absent from or is not in the center of our lives, we will begin to worship physical things, and we will do whatever it takes to keep such physical things as we become anxious about the potential thought of ever losing them. And when we try to use physical things to satisfy the spiritual, we continue to remain empty and enter into that deceptive cycle of worry. That is why our anxiety is linked to our spiritual health. If we can acknowledge that God is in control, we can realize that we don't need to try to be in control, especially in control of our unknowns and of our future. And since our fear of loss is mostly future-oriented, that is why Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow because our anxieties are usually rooted in the future. Anxiety makes us fear what might happen later. And these imagined what-if scenarios steal us from the present moments. Even past events can trigger anxiety by making us think about the future. For instance, if we have an argument with a friend, we might start worrying about what that friend could do to retaliate against us. Perhaps talking about us behind our backs or spreading things about us on social media. This demonstrates why our anxieties are always connected to the unknown future and the fear of loss. However, people and even Christians can seek God with the wrong motives. They do so in order to try to avoid facing that future loss, thinking that God can be our insurance that prevents that loss from happening. Well, in such cases, when people do that, they in reality are seeking God for the wrong reasons, so that ultimately they can manipulate God to get what they want. See, we seek God so that we won't lose our valued things like money, health, possessions, status, relationships, or even opportunities. That is why Jesus talks to his listeners pertaining to things like what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Instead, Jesus starts to shift his audience from the imagined future to their present reality and to the character of who God is, that he is their heavenly Father who cares for them, as he says this, "For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." What is Jesus saying? Many non-believers today, and even Christians, believe that their life consists of the abundance of their possessions or the good deeds that they do. Those things become their God, and such things become their master that defines them and consumes them, because that is all that they are living for. Whereas for those who do know God personally and have a relationship with him, whenever we worry about our life, our possessions, our relationships, our survival, and our status, then our anxiety is an opportunity to now seek God, as that reminds us as to who God really is in our lives. It is trusting that by doing so, not only will we grow spiritually, but that we can come to the point of peace, knowing that whatever happens, we can trust that our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, will take care of us, that he is the one that is in control of our unknowns and our outcomes, and that we can be secure in his love for us. And learning to make this shift from desiring what we want to happen in the future to desiring who our Heavenly Father is and what he wants for our lives is a critical step towards spiritual growth for any follower of Jesus. We also learn that even though the crowd that Jesus is addressing is worried about what they will eat, Jesus doesn't start telling them a detailed menu of all the food that they will have in the future. When they're worried about what they will drink, Jesus doesn't give a detailed list of all the drinks that will be provided for them either. Nor does he talk about any sort of specific future clothes that they will have because they are worried about what they will wear. Instead of having them focus on all that God will do for them, Jesus helps them to focus on who their Heavenly Father is now, the one who is present now and who knows their very needs now. See, many times in order to calm our anxiety, we want God to present all the details, including the who, the what, the where, the when, and the why. If you aren't familiar, before something such as a house or a building is built, the architect who is designing everything has a very detailed blueprint of what everything will look like and how it will function. And we can want that same blueprint as to how everything will unfold for us in the future. But instead, Jesus encourages us to seek the architect, meaning seek God, seek the God behind the blueprint of our life. This prompts us to examine our true desires. Do we seek the blueprint or the giver of the blueprint? Are we seeking his hand or seeking his face? Because seeking the blueprint is searching for what we think is best for us in the future. Where seeking the architect is searching for what God thinks is best for us in the future. That is why our anxiety is an opportunity to grow in our relationship with the architect. And when we get to know the architect of our lives, we grow not only in our intimacy and trust with him, but also in our maturity of faith. And this is a challenge to the audience listening, and even a challenge to us, Do we seek God for our what in order to prevent loss, or the who knows our every need? And if we continue to focus on the blueprint of what will happen in the future, we will eventually miss out on the who God is, because anxiety reveals the true nature of our desires. However, if we don't see God when we are anxious, then anxiety can easily hijack our minds. When anxiety takes root, it pulls us from the present into a spiral of hypothetical future losses. As we dwell on these what-ifs and potential scenarios, anxiety gains control, crippling us. We may then try to combat this anxiety by attempting to manipulate God to achieve our desired outcomes. So how do we break free from this pattern? The first is to practice being present. When we leave the possible future scenarios with our mind, it prevents anxiety from having a hold over us. Think about it. If our anxiety is about the future, then we cannot feel anxious when we live fully in the present. Talk with any first responder, like military or police or firefighters, that when they face situations, they have to be focused entirely on the task at hand. Instead of focusing on all the possible what-ifs, they focus on what they can do now with what they have available to them. An example of being present was on January 15th, 2009, when Captain Chesley Sullenberger, known as Captain Sully, and his co-pilot Jeff Skiles accomplished one of the most miraculous emergency landings in aviation history. They were the pilots of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, and they were getting ready for a regularly scheduled flight from New York's LaGuardia Airport to Charlotte. Shortly after takeoff, when the plane was about 2,800 feet, it struck a flock of Canadian geese, causing the plane to lose all engine power. Given their position with no available airports to land the plane and with their low altitude, the pilots glided the Airbus 320 plane right onto the Hudson River. The 155 people on board were rescued by nearby boats, and there were no fatalities. The then governor of New York called the incident a miracle on the Hudson. In an interview, Captain Sully said this: "I never had any extraneous thoughts in those few seconds that we had. I didn't allow myself to, and I didn't have any inclination to. I never thought about my family. I never thought about anything other than controlling the flight path and solving each problem in turn until finally we had solved them all. I think the training and the experience develops in you an ability to summon up from somewhere within this ability to create a sense of calm. Pilots receive specialized training on how to be fully present, and we can practice that too. Jesus tells his followers to leave their imagined future in thinking about what to eat, drink, or wear. And today, he tells us, why are you worried about your retirement? Or what your kids will do in the next 5 years? Or what will happen to your job? Instead, he wants us to practice being present with him now as we focus on the here and now. That is why he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, does this mean that we cannot plan? No. But it is first consulting God with our plans and then holding on to those plans very, very loosely. It is leaving those plans with God as he is in charge of our future. When this happens, we can then focus on what we are doing to live in the present with what we have now. That is why Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? We cannot feel anxious when we are fully present. Jesus says to leave the future and all our what ifs of the future and focus on being present with him now. And the way Jesus helps us to do that is by focusing on nature. He says, look at the birds, look at the flowers, pay attention, pay close attention to such things and how they're just present in their surroundings. They appreciate the now and God takes care of them now. And because we are also God's creation, we can also function with the same posture by being present in the now. And when we pay attention to what God has created, it reminds us of our present reality that is filled with God's loving care for us. I grew up with all kinds of pets, birds, dogs, fish, and hamsters. And I remember even as a teenager, I would look into the cage of the hamsters and I would notice how they groomed themselves, how they ate and stuffed all the food in their mouths. I saw how they slept in their nest with their slow breathing, and even admired when they would run on their wheel for exercise, wondering where they were thinking they were running to. I was lost in their world, observing every single detail, and I was being present with them. At that time, looking at the hamsters, I didn't think about the homework that I had to do or what I was so worried about, because I was present in that moment. My dad, who was a doctor, who was the one who helped me to love animals, would have a huge fish tank in his clinic. And not only was it nice to look at, but my dad knew that patients would come in anxious for their appointments and their unknowns. But when they were in the waiting room, they would just sit and watch the fish swimming, noticing the colors, the food that they ate, and it would just calm them down. And Jesus was on to something. If nature is filled with evidence that God is constantly providing, then that means that if we are God's creation, that God will constantly provide for us as well. Jesus wants us to live in the present with him and to marvel at what God has already provided for us, to give thanks for what he has already provided for us, and to focus on what we can do now with the things that we do have. This moves our focus from worrying about all that we don't have and all that we're yet to do. Don't allow the worries of the future to hijack the beauty of our present and how God has provided for us thus far. Focus on the present. Notice the beauty of the present, and you will not be tempted to go to the future. Jesus says, hey, look at the birds, how small they are, the songs that they're singing, the jumping from branch to branch. Then look at the flowers, smell them. See the colors and how they praise God by swaying in the wind. So let's try this right now. For the next minute, I'm going to put an image on the screen, and I want us to be present to what we see. Look at this picture. What do you notice about God and His creation? Do you see the blue, pristine water that is crystal clear with the reflection of the sky and the mountains and the trees? You can almost ice skate on the smoothness of the surface. Do you notice how the trees are perfectly aligned? How green they are, and there's even a path that leads through the trees going up to the mountains. Do you notice the deep red color of the kayaks and even the canoe that is sitting right next to those kayaks on the dock? Do you notice the canoe says rescue on it? Would you take the kayaks or would you take the canoe? Where would you go with the canoe or the kayak? Would you sit in the boat and rest? Would you go fishing? Would you travel out to the mountains across the lake? What other details do you notice? Okay, after that exercise, I would like you to think about how much anxiety you experienced during that time. And if you really focused on being present, you would have had a minute free from anxiety. Because when we are fully present to God and His creation now, we don't have to be anxious about the future. Now imagine if we did that day to day, practicing being present and noticing our surroundings and how thankful we are for what we see and how God has provided for us. This allows for us to have a conscious appreciation of the Creator Himself. It allows for us to acknowledge God's presence with us right now. And we free ourselves from any anxiety thinking about our future. Even the psalmist says, "Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." After practicing being present, a second powerful Jesus-centered way to practice presence is the purposeful and mindful breath. People have used mindful breathing in the broader culture with things like Eastern religions or even with things like yoga. However, this mindful breath practice that we're talking about is very different, and it has a profound biblical basis, and it started with God. We see this when the disciples had witnessed the crucifixion of their Lord Jesus on a cross, and they're now anxious and hiding behind locked doors, fearing that the religious authorities would come and find them, arrest them, and crucify them next. The disciples, however, did not know that Jesus had defeated death and had risen from the dead. However, Jesus appears in their midst in His resurrected body, saying this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus then breathes on them, giving them the Holy Spirit. He does this because He knows that He will return to heaven, but He leaves with His disciples the third person of the Godhead so that they would never be alone. The Holy Spirit is how Jesus will be with His disciples even when He has gone from earth in order to return to heaven and be with His Father. But the giving of the Holy Spirit was through the purposeful act of breathing. All throughout Scripture, we read of God having a plan and being mindful to do things with a purpose. In the book of Genesis, we learn that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In Hebrew, this Spirit of God is called Ruach Elohim. Ruach means breath, and Elohim means God. So breath of God. And so when God spoke His words, His breath came forth in order to create. Breath equates life. So every breath that we take is evidence that we are still alive. And just as we breathe, this is also reminded that the Holy Spirit is with us as well. See, we take breathing for granted, but it is being mindful that every breath we take, it is a reminder that God is with us and has given us His Spirit. Every breath we take, it is a reminder that God has given us life, and that we have purpose for today with Him. Every breath we take, it is a reminder to be present and to stay in the now with God's Holy Spirit here with us. And when we are mindful that God's Spirit is with us in the now, it prevents us from our thoughts about our future hijacking us and stealing our calm and our joy from today. God has given us breath, which means that with Him in our lives, we have things to focus on now and a purpose to live for today. See, when we focus on an imagined future, anxiety starts to rule us. And a lot of times we waste time and energy thinking about imagined scenarios that may never take place. When we practice this purposeful and mindful breathing, we can live in the now with God and also be reminded that God will also take care of us in the not yet future. Author Curtis Chang says this: we replace anxiety's threats about the imaginary future with God's promises about the real future found in our resurrected Lord. Purposeful and mindful breathing is focusing on the now with God, and also the trust that God will take care of us in the future because He is taking care of us in the past. And such daily practices like being present in our surroundings or in nature, or practicing mindful breathing, are very helpful ways to lower our anxiety, acknowledge His presence with us now as we maintain hope in God now. But without a foundation of spending time with God and His Word and knowing God's character and who He is in a personal relationship, such practices will not make any sense to you and can often be used as a next ploy or a vitamin to try in order to calm our anxieties and our worries. Spending time with Him now, daily, and not just when we are anxious, gives us the foundation of faith, whereby if we do practice such exercises, it just fortifies our faith in Jesus and trust in Him even more. When we're anxious, we often focus on the future to avoid potential loss, rather than embracing God in the present now. However, true spiritual growth stems from engaging with a loving God now. An intimate relationship cannot flourish if our attention is constantly diverted by an imagined future. Relationships grow when we are present in the present. And the opposite is also true. Relationships don't grow when we are not present. And when we do not relate with God or are not present with Him, we start to lose connection with God, and we tend to project our fears onto the future, demanding a not yet that aligns with our anxieties rather than with His truth and His will. And that is why Jesus says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When we practice being present with God, He becomes the focus and also becomes the highest object of our desires. Remember, our anxiety is an opportunity to be present with the who, meaning the architect who will take care of us now and into the future. So be present with the one who is with us in the now and who controls all of our outcomes in the future. These practices profoundly changed me. I have a friend who reminds me to be present with God, and he's right. When I am present and mindful of God, my mind stays here. My mind focuses on God, and my anxieties start to subside. When I'm tempted to think about the future what ifs, I simply remind myself to focus on the present, to not go there, and to start being thankful for the present and to do what I can with what I have now. Not focus on what I don't have or the what ifs, but focus on the God who is my shepherd and promises to take care of me now and the bridges that I will cross in the future. Remember, our anxiety is an opportunity and an invitation that can lead us to God and lead us to profound change. May we go to God and practice being in his presence as we notice all that he is doing in us here and now. Because remember, when we are fully present to God and his creation now, we don't have to be anxious about the future. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we surrender our control over to you. And whenever we are worried and whatever we're worried about, may we trust you with our outcomes as we remain present with you in the now. May we seek your face and not just your hand. And so God, thank you that you provide for us and you remind us that you are the God who has our lives in the palm of your hand. We want rest of mind, so we fix our eyes on you, our Lord and our Savior. Help us to remain focused on our present and to not worry about our future. You know, as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive us for our sins and to create an avenue so that we can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. Jesus lived a perfect life and then he chose to die for our sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only that, not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the whole world that he wasn't just a man, but the God who saves. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you to be the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire today, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me to be the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. If you pray to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@comicitychurch.org to let us know of your decision, and we would love to get to know you better and even give you some resources to help you to grow in that relationship with God. Now, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.